Who is Jesus? A great theme that Whispering Pines congregation has slated for this particular gospel meeting, this Oklahoma New Year meeting. I have enjoyed immensely all the lessons and the different ways people have identified who the Lord is and who Jesus is. I have an ongoing list of names and titles and ways that the Lord has been referred to in Scripture. I'm well over 100 at this time, and I have no idea how long that list will become. But today I'm going to, for the 15 minutes of my time, share a few of those with you, maybe 5, maybe 6 points as time will progress, so you can know that Jesus is truly on your side. There's no better way than an eyewitness of who Jesus is. There's no higher person than to know who Jesus is than going to his Father, God the Father, Jehovah, the Almighty God. Each point we give you tonight, we will give you a book, chapter, verse in the Bible to support that point. So you that are taking notes, be sure to write down the 5 or 6 points, write down the passage, and then upon your convenience, you can study this a little deeper. Number 1, who is Jesus? Jesus is God's Son. I know this because God the Father, the Almighty, the Jehovah said in Matthew the 3rd chapter, in verse 16 and verse 17, speaking the words of God, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God the Father said, "This is my Son." There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Jesus is God's Son. That was at the baptism of Jesus. The Word of God revealed in verse 16 that Jesus was baptized. He was coming up out of the water. And lo, the heavens were open, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighted upon him. And a voice came out of that cloud that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It is very impressive here. You have 3 people, God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Holy Spirit, 3 different people in 3 different places doing 3 different things at the same identical time, declaring the fact this is the Son of God. A second reference into support of point number 1 is found in Matthew the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 5, where the transfiguration was transpiring. Now, I'm not going to read all the previous verses, but this was a tremendous event. And in verse 5, God once more spake from heaven, and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And another phrase was added, "Hear ye him." To hear Jesus is to hear more than reading his word. It is to hear more than "I love Jesus." It is to hear and to obey his will, supported by a whole arm list of Bible passages. Number 2, Jesus is our Savior. The Word of God said in Matthew 1 and 21, "She," speaking of Mary, "she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To the Gentiles in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 11 through 13, they did not know Jesus. They did not know who Jesus was. Paul set forth to explain to them, at that time, the time you did not know Jesus, at that time, you were without Christ. You had no hope. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers from the covenant of promise. You had no hope. You were without God. Furthermore, he said it be made known, but now in Christ Jesus, you were afar off, but now you're made nigh by the blood of Jesus. What a deplorable condition to be one without Christ, having no hope, an alien, a stranger, a foreigner, and afar off. Who is Jesus? Yes, indeed, he's your Savior. Jesus knew we were on a one-way street to damnation. Jesus, through the will and the purpose of God, and through his plan, God provided a plan of escape, and it was through Jesus. Jesus' death at Calvary provides me and you salvation. Points 3 and 4 are from the same passage. Points 3 and 4 from the same passage. 1 John 2, verse 1 and 2. If you have your Bible, of course, I preach to the King James Version. If you're using a different version, then it will read slightly different. But 1 John 2, I want to note especially verse 1 and 2. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now that is a great set of verses, two verses here. Two words I want to talk about. I want to talk about the word advocate, and I want to talk about the word propitiation. Now, you may have a translation that has a different word, and by my explanation and definition of this word, it may make it clear in your version. I don't know, but I do know this. Jesus is our advocate. And by the word advocate, it simply means that Jesus speaks to God on our defense. He defends us before God. Jesus is on your side. And I want you to understand that. Jesus died at Calvary because Jesus wants you saved. He does not want you lost. It is deplorable today when people indicate Jesus could care less whether we are saved or lost. That is absolutely unequivocally wrong. Jesus does care. He cared enough to die at Calvary. That's where that crown of thorns came in on the handbill and on the sheet of paper and on this PowerPoint that we have before us. Who is Jesus? He wore that crown of thorns for you. Jesus speaks to God on our behalf, according to 1 John 2, 1 and 2. And to have someone who's an advocate, it is someone who is an ally, who's on your side, who would do everything they can to help you. The second word in 1 John 2, 1 and 2 that we want to zero in on is propitiation. This word propitiation is the word that denotes Jesus will satisfy, he will appease our sins. Jesus knows that we're in sin. He knows the trials. He knows the difficulties of sin. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We sing about it all the time. We read about it all the time in many, many passages of Scripture. Jesus is on your side, folks. He is God's Son. He is your Savior. He is your advocate. He is indeed the propitiation, or the one who will appease and satisfy your sins. Point number 5, Jesus is our mediator. Did you know you only have one mediator? Did you know that? 1 Timothy 2, verse 5 is your passage. Number 5, Jesus is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. The Apostle Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, he said, there is one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, that man, Christ Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's our mediator. What's a mediator? A mediator is a go-between. Jesus is the go-between you and God, and me and God. He's our one and only mediator. There's only one mediator, and that is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And Jesus presents you to God and presents God to you. He is absolutely your go-between. He mediates between two parties in order to do what? Produce peace. Jesus is the ultimate of a peacemaker. I love the passage in Matthew 5 and 9. The first recorded sermon of Jesus is Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7, known as the Sermon on the Mount. But the very beginning stages of that sermon in Matthew 5 and 9, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called the children of God. Jesus was the ultimate peacemaker. In John 17, shortly before his death, he prayed what is truly called the Lord's Prayer. And then this prayer is divided into three segments. Number one, he prayed for himself. Number two, he prayed for his apostles. And number three, he prayed that all the disciples would be at peace and be one with another. That's what Jesus prayed for in John 17. Jesus is our mediator. He's a go-between us and God. He will speak to God on our behalf. And in this great audience here, a great house full of people here tonight, it is fabulous that we've all come to study who is Jesus. And we can know without any doubt, any question, no if, no ands, and no buts, Jesus is our mediator. I have 4 minutes left, therefore I want to take number six. Jesus is our intercessor. Now, what is an intercessor? An intercessor is one who speaks on behalf of another. Jesus is our intercessor. You're looking for your passage? Your passage is Romans 8 and verse 34. Romans the 8th chapter and verse 34. The word of God said, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God," get a hold of this, "who also maketh intercession for us." Jesus is our intercessor. And to intercede for somebody is to speak on their behalf. Now, notice the Bible did not say there's only one intercessor. There's only one mediator. That's Christ Jesus, point number five. But intercessors, there's a lot of intercessors. Did you know something? When you pray for me, did you know you're my intercessor? You're speaking to God on my behalf. When I pray for you, I am your intercessor. I'm speaking to God on your behalf. The word of God teaches in Romans the 8th chapter and verse 26 that the Spirit of God intercedes for our prayers. So the Holy Spirit also intercedes for our prayers. Romans 8, 34, in this particular passage, what we learn right here is Jesus intercedes for us. Who is Jesus? He's our intercessor. He is speaking on our behalf to the Almighty God. Now, when you put this all together, just these 6 points, and there's 100 more to go, you begin to realize above all others, Jesus is indeed a friend to you. Earlier during the week, I had the good pleasure of speaking, and my title basically on that occasion was "Jesus is our greatest friend." Well, tonight, I want you to understand the benefit of being Jesus' friend. Now, let me tell you something. Every New Testament Christian loves to pray. They love the opportunity to sit down and have a word with God. But do you know something? If you ever decide to walk away, that really hinders your prayer. I want to give you a passage. Solomon wrote this in the book of Proverbs, the 28th chapter and verse 9. Proverbs, the 28th chapter and verse 9, and this is my conclusion. The Bible said, "He that turneth away his ears from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." Dear friends, today, please do not ever walk away from the Lord. There are several passages of Scripture that will address the fact that even when a husband and wife relationship is not what it should be, the Bible said that your prayers will be hindered. It is so wonderful today to be a New Testament Christian who has obeyed the will of God through baptism, becoming a member of the family of God. And we are co-laborers with Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We look forward to going to heaven. That's all because Jesus is without doubt your Savior. He speaks to God on your behalf. He speaks to God, intercedes for you. He is your go-between. He will take care of you. I appreciate knowing today we serve a risen Savior, and one day Jesus will come back with his Father, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1 and 2, and he will judge all the world, and I will assure you, you do want to be ready to meet the Lord when he comes. God bless you.